Well, let's start. Okay, so first I want to turn back time and go back a very long time back for many of you, not so far back for me, but to 1998. Why 1998, you might ask? Well, that was when I built my first data warehouse. And my data warehouse that I built it on this. Some of you probably remember Access. It's probably not the best place to put a data warehouse, but it was great for a proof of concept. We could knock some stuff together, get things working. One of the problems we had with it, you know, loading data into it, the more data you load into it, the slower it got. It was like, you know, that movie Inception, where the more things you went into, the slower it got. Anyway, the proof of concept was good. We proved what we needed to do, and then we moved on to this, SQL Server 6, 6.5. This came with a really cool tool, something called BCP, bulk copy. What this allowed us to do was truncate a table in our database and then feed data into it pretty much at a constant rate. I won't say a blindingly fast rate, but a constant rate anyway. Once we got the data in there, we still had to go and re-index all our tables, do some post-processing, do some roll-up queries, and then we were ready for reporting. So, you know, it took a while to get there, to get ready to process our data. After that, SQL 7 came out, and that was awesome. They released this tool called DTS. Never mind that we just built a tool called something else that wasn't DTS but did the same thing. We threw that away, and we took the Microsoft tool. DTS allowed us to take that data, and we were able to process it before it hit the database. And that took a lot of the time off the back end. But once again, you know, we put the data in, then we had to process it, roll it up, ready for our queries. So there's one thing that, you know, all of this had a bit in common at the time. It was kind of slow. And back then, 1998, we were working with, you know, about 1 million records. That was big data back then. Well, for me it was anyway. And we had about 40, 50 stores that were, you know, working with all of the data that came out of those stores of purchasing behavior. Now, if we just fast forward a little bit to now, we've got something called SQL Server 2016. Now, you just saw the video from the guys at Stack Overflow. And you'll know, watching that, and probably if you're using SQL Server as well, it can handle some pretty big stuff now. You know, they said 6 billion queries per month, 40 million users, 55 terabytes of data they were shifting around. Admittedly, they had 24 cores, they had 348 gigs of RAM, a little bit more than we had in the old days. The hardware has come a long way, but still, SQL Server itself, the engine, the tuning, all of the tools that are associated with it, have come light years. And those million rows that we had back in 1998, a few seconds in SQL Server today. It's pretty awesome. But relational databases, you know, they're great for a lot of stuff. You can do a lot with them. But there's some new things that we're doing now, and relational databases aren't necessarily the best place to do that. So this is where the big data platforms come in. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. So before we get into the tooling and the rest, let's just have a quick look at what big data is. So according to Gartner, it's these three Vs: high volume, high velocity, and high variety. High volume, you know, let's picture Internet of Things, let's picture sensors out there pushing, you know, sensor readings into your system. Let's picture thousands of these sensors out there doing that. Quite a lot of volume coming through that. High velocity, imagine those sensors sending that data every 3 seconds. Now we've got high volume and high velocity. And then high variety, this is really coming down to the fact that, you know, 1 week you're measuring temperature. A couple of weeks later, install a new sensor, now maybe you're pushing humidity too. A month down the track, maybe an infrared image you want to push up. So we've gone from a couple of sensor data now to some image data. If we were working with a relational system, we'd have to go and modify some tables, change some loading procedures, do a whole lot of stuff, it's going to be quite difficult, it's going to be quite, you know, messy to do and roll out. That's one of the areas where big data can help us. Once we get our big data tooling in place, there are a bunch of things that we can do with it, kind of like this. We talked about sensors just now, sensors for remote monitoring, you know, temperature, monitoring temperature in a vat somewhere. Measuring the methane as it exits the rear end of a cow, for example. Apparently you can tell all sorts of stuff about the cows from that. You can also do things like offer customers what they want when they want it. I mean, you could do that by knowing what they've bought in the past, but now what you can also do is have a look at what everybody else is doing in the system at the same time to kind of predict some demand. You could also take into account streams that are coming out of Twitter, merge that in with your data in real time, and use that to make product recommendations. You know, maybe throw in some temperature outside. Is it an ice cream day? Suggest some ice cream, for example. And many other things. Then there's also one that I really love, which is fixing problems proactively before they start. This could be health, you know, detecting a big health event before it happens. It could be as simple as predicting when a light bulb's going to fail or a hard drive in a computer. You can also do things like operational efficiency, and we'll hear a little bit more about that from Volpara later. Now, with our big data, excuse me here. Getting a bit of a dry mouth. Hey, with our big data, what we want to do is have a look at some of the tools that are available and put that kind of in a scenario that you guys might understand. So what I want to talk about today is this scenario, telco billing. It's not new, it's been around for a while. But one of the things that's happened in this space is that you know, now we're doing internet, we're doing SMS, we're doing calling, and a lot more people have cell phones. So the data from 20 years ago is now much, much bigger. But you know what happens, you connect your cell phone, talk to a tower, push some data, somehow it's going to go into a billing system and somehow it's going to come off your credit card at the other end. With all this data that we're generating, all the stuff that we're doing with our cell phones now, it's not that easy to push, you know, 4 million people's cell phone records into a billing system so that they can get their bill done straight away. So if you've got a phone and you've wondered about what you're doing with it and you've gone to a portal, you might have seen something like this. Usage information for the last few hours may not be displayed. That's because they just can't get that stuff from the systems that are measuring it and into the portal fast enough. So that's where our big data pipelines can come into play. And I'm going to show you what that big data pipeline could look if we're using some of the Microsoft tools, remembering that this is what it looks like before it and a little bit more detailed now. So here's our data. It's coming into cell towers, generating some files and text. Those files can be coming into our Azure event hubs, millions of events per second. Got a tool called Stream Analytics that can be pulling that data real time, pushing that out to Power BI. We can do some, you know, real time reporting on Power BI, predictive maintenance, you know, what my usage was over the last couple of hours. At the same time, we can be persisting that to some blob storage or some HD Insight Hadoop storage, a data lake, processing massive amounts of data in a very short time over dozens of nodes, and then pushing that data into our trusty SQL servers or our SQL Server data warehouses. And from there, you know, we can consume that with our apps, and we can consume it again with Power BI and our dashboards and our reporting. Quite a lot of bits and pieces up there. These are all parts of our platform for big data, which includes, you know, quite a few things. Basically, our apps, our data coming in on the left, coming through an ingestion point, which is our event hubs or our IoT hubs, using something like Data Factory to orchestrate that through to our data stores and then into our advanced learning and analytics. Now, the first piece that I'm going to have a look at is event hubs. And as I said, this is where all your data comes in at high scale, high speed, first up. Basically, it's in Azure. It can consume, you know, millions of events per second in near real time. It can also push that data at Power BI, for example, to show you a window of what's going on in near real time as well, and it can persist that out to some storage. We're using Stream Analytics to read the stuff that comes into the event hubs, which then actually does the thing of pushing it out to the Power BI and to the storage. So let's jump in and take a quick look at what's happening with our event hubs and Stream Analytics and Power BI. Hopefully my screen will come. There we go. Okay, first things first, I've got a virtual machine running up in Azure. And it's actually got 10 of these windows running, and it's just generating lots and lots of data and pushing it at our event hubs, trying to simulate some cell towers. Okay, so in Azure, we have, when I find my portal, we have in our portal, we have an event hub service that's been created, which you'll see coming up here. And inside this event hub service, we have an event hub. You can have multiple event hubs, but we've got one that we've created, and this one we're calling Tower Feed. So this is basically taking the feed of all that data from the towers. With the event hub service, there's only really a couple of things you need to worry about: the connection string and the key to connect to it, and where you're going to stick it, which is this event hub. From there, what we can do is we can go to our favorite programming language. I'm going to use Visual Studio because I know it. But you can use Python, you can use Node, you can use pretty much anything else to connect to event hubs and send data, generally in a couple lines of code. But in Visual Studio, I'm going to add a reference to the service bus messaging, which you can get through NuGet and add. And then what I'm going to do is I define my event hub name, as you can see here, tower feed. Feed it the connection string, which I just copied and pasted out of the Azure portal. It set that up for me. And then I'm going to create this hub client, which is the controller which I'll use to send messages. In my code here, I'm just knocking together a record really quick, which is just makes up a cool data record for a telco, and then turning it into JSON format, wrapping it up with some UTF encoding, and it's as simple from there to do send, hubclient.send that data, and then that'll push that to the event hub. When it gets to the event hub ingests that and everything else that's coming through at the same time. And then from the event hub, we've got a service called Stream Analytics, or Stream Analytics job from Azure Stream Analytics running. And I'm just going to bring that up now. So this is Stream Analytics in my portal. And what we'll see here is we have a query that's defined. And in that query, we have an input. We actually have a couple of inputs. One is the data that's coming out of the event hub. And one of the data inputs is actually some reference data with the cell tower names and the cell tower locations and more. On outputs, I've created three outputs here. Two of them are going to Power BI, one for calls, one for data. I didn't do SMS. And then I've got a third output, which is a raw blob output. I could have just as easily pushed this to an Azure Data Lake or some other type of storage, HDFS on a virtual machine if I wanted to. The Power BI stuff, this is going to send a window. Every 15 seconds, it's going to send a roll-up of events. And the raw blob output's just going to spit out every event to it and persist it there until we delete it. Now, I have got somewhere here. No, I haven't. I haven't actually started up. But we have a Power BI dashboard, which looks like this. And we also have the data that's going to the blob storage. It's basically just creating little JSON files on that blob storage in a directory, which is year, month, day, etc. This is what the Power BI dashboard looks like. Cool, it says refreshed a few seconds ago. So this is actually updating in real time. We may see it blink. We may see some stuff happening. Hopefully we will. But what we'll do is I'll just go back to my Visual Studio here. And I am just going to run up this code. And what this code is going to do is it's just going to send that one message in amongst the other thousands of messages that are going in the background. But this code here is the message on it is actually, it's quite a big message. It's got a big data. So hopefully it'll spike our thing. It takes a few seconds to connect to the event hub. But once it's connected, then it can stream pretty quick. So that data's been pushed through to the event hub. It's getting ingested along with a few thousand other data items. And hopefully, we'll see something change on our Power BI dashboard near real time. It hasn't made it there yet. Play some music. Wait. OK. It's going to not be nice for me. OK, so what would have happened is this map would have sort of zoomed out, and you would have seen another cell tower, which happens to be in the tank farm here, would have lit up, and then you would have seen a new popular URL would have popped up, and it would have shown my Twitter handle on it. Let me hit the refresh tiles. Oh, no, there we go. Just as I went to refresh it, did it. So here's that tower that just lit up, and there's my Twitter URI that lit up. So. It did work, just took a little bit longer than it usually does. Okay. So that's data coming into the event hubs at a huge rate, getting processed by Stream Analytics, pushed out to Power BI for some real-time insight. We could use this to detect a tower that's suddenly gone quiet you know, maybe something wrong with the tower, or we can, you know, find one that's overloaded and maybe we need to roll in another cell site on wheels to handle the load, for example. And we've also got that data that's persisting out to storage. So let me just start my slides again. Okay, so there's our pipeline. We've just covered the data coming in, into event hubs, into stream analytics, Power BI, and blob storage. Now the next piece in here is all this data, all this JSON data is sitting on our blob storage. It's just files of text on a file system right now. It's not really that much use to us, especially when there's a couple of million rows of data in there. It's just a file system, right? You can't really query one of those. Well, actually you can, and that's what the job of Hadoop is, or our Azure HD Insight cluster. It could also be the job of an Azure Data Lake Analytics query as well, if we were using Azure Data Lake Analytics. But in this case, I'm using Hadoop, or Azure HD Insight. So HD Insight is a fully managed cloud Hadoop offering. Basically, you can create one of these, spin it up in a few minutes, and what it does is it spins up Apache Hive, it spins up Apache Spark, it spins up MapReduce, and a bunch of other open source services, not Microsoft versions of ones, but the actual open source services. And then we can use that to run across all our data that's sitting on that file system and process it and then start querying it. So let me just quickly jump across to our Azure portal again. And what you'll see on our Azure portal, if we go back to the home, is a tile for our HD Insight cluster. And I'm just going to drill into that, bring it up. And what we're seeing here, when it refreshes, is just kind of an overview. But we've got a few buttons here. And I can't quite see it on the screen because it's not big enough. But let's scroll down. And you'll see cluster nodes are shown here. And in this cluster, we have a couple of head nodes and we have a couple of worker nodes. The head nodes kind of control this cluster of servers, and all these worker nodes, you can send it jobs and it'll process them. I've got two worker nodes here, but you could scale this out, you know, for as many cores as you could afford. I can't afford more than a couple of nodes and several cores, but you know, if I had enough money to throw 32 nodes out there, my queries would run really fast. We've also got in here this button, which is Ambari Views, which is a tool that you can use to access your cluster and do querying and stuff. And that's what we're going to go and have a look at now. So let me just switch across. I've already loaded up to save us some time. This is Ambari Views, and I've actually selected a query tool which uses the Hive query language. Now, Hive query language is really good for those of you who like SQL because it's basically writing SQL, but for a Hadoop or HD Insight cluster. So you can see here, I've actually got some SQL that's written. It's pulling from the raw billing data, which is basically some you know, raw billing data, 2 million rows sitting at the moment. I think it's processed everything from the 15th, but not the 16th yet, but about 2 million rows there. It's actually joining it with a table which has got some offers that, you know, zero rate Facebook traffic, for example, and joining it with a subscriber database as well, and doing some queries on it to calculate the cost of the data that's coming out of the data stream. And let me just execute this. Oops. If I can scroll right. Okay. So what's going to happen when I hit the execute button there is this is going to interpret this query. It's going to take my raw data, and what we'll see in a sec is it's going to start talking about doing some, you know, some debugging here. It's going to throw up some things talking about something called MapReduce. So what it does is it takes this data, it takes it into small chunks, and throws it at all of the worker nodes so that each worker node gets, you know, several small chunks of your data and a copy of that query. So lots and lots of parallel processes will take a chunk of data, you know, MapReduce it or map it and then reduce it down to just, you know, the relevant data, and then they'll all be brought back and then your query will come back. And what we did then was we actually just joined about 2 million rows with the subscriber database, did some calculations on it, and we can see Kevin here has had, you know, he's been visiting acer.com and bing.com, and it's actually showing the data cost. And you can also see that he's visited facebook.com and it was down to zero rated. So that's just run through, as I said, 2 million rows in a fairly short order. But you know, bigger data and more nodes, it can do much, much bigger sizes and just as fast. Right. Let me come back to slides. Okay, so that's a really, really, really fast look at HD Insight and Hadoop. I only have a short time, so we can't go into much more depth here. So I mentioned HD Insight and Hadoop. We've also got an Azure Data Lake store. This is, you know, I'm using Blob Storage today, but I could have used an Azure Data Lake store. That would take petabyte-sized files. I'm not even sure how many zeros that is. It's a lot. And trillions of objects. Again, I'm not sure how many zeros there are in trillions, but it's a lot, trust me. It's an optimized file system for these big data kind of clusters. We also have Azure Data Lake Analytics. And what this does is it works across an Azure Data Lake. And instead of deploying your own Hadoop cluster, you can use the Azure Data Lake Analytics to basically do that job for you. You create the query, a different query language called USQL, but you create the query. It'll start in seconds, it'll scale instantly, and you pay per job. You don't pay per VM, you don't pay per node. You don't have to manage sizing up or tearing down your clusters and the rest of it. So that's pretty awesome. And then the other piece that we saw on our slide was this thing called Azure Data Factory. And I don't have the slide in the right place, but Azure Data Factory was picking up all the data off our blob storage and pushing it into our HD Insight cluster. And then it was picking it out of our HD Insight cluster and pushing it into our Azure Data Warehouse, or pushing it into our SQL Server. So Data Factory basically controls the pipeline, creates it, monitors it as it goes along, and automates all that for you. And of course, Azure SQL Data Warehouse is one of the other tools that we have. It is a fully scalable SQL-based data warehouse. Now you can use it like you're doing any other sort of SQL data warehousing stuff, query it with SQL. Once again, massive data stores, really fast. So let's just really quickly have a look at Data Factory and what that looks like. Now, I've got this preloaded somewhere else. Hopefully, it's still there. Okay. So Data Factory is, once again, it's listed on my portal down here. And when I drill into it, I'm going to get a dashboard. Or not. I'm on the wrong button. I'll drill into it, and we'll get a dashboard. So on the dashboard, we've got a few buttons here, which we'll see. Author and deploy, a diagram, and monitor and manage are the three buttons I'm going to look at right now. The first one is the author and deploy. Now, this is where you go and set up your data sets, your data services. So what you'll see here, if I expand out linked services, I have a Azure SQL Data Warehouse linked in here. I've got a raw blob store, which is this DevDNZ store, and I've got my HD Insight Hadoop service linked. Then I've also got some data sets that I've got configured. In these data sets, I'm going to be pushing from one data set to another through my pipeline. And then I've got the pipelines themselves. I've got a Hadoop pipeline, which takes the data from the raw JSON files and pushes it into Hadoop, into structured data. And then I've got a data warehouse pipeline, which will take it out of my Hadoop cluster and push it into an Azure SQL data warehouse. I could also have had a pipeline in here which took it from Data Warehouse, took it from Hadoop, and pushed it into our SQL Server for some transactional or billing data to go back in. Now, I'll have a look at the next button there, which is a diagram, and this kind of shows us what our pipeline looks like. So here's that raw JSON data that came, you know, from Stream Analytics being ingested at millions of rows per second, potentially. That was being picked up from there and pushed into our Hadoop cluster. From our Hadoop cluster, that was getting pushed into a table, a process table in our Hadoop cluster, which was then being picked up and pushed into our data warehouse to a more highly reduced table to work off from our data warehouse. So that's showing you what the pipeline is. The other one was creating the pipeline. And the last thing we have here is the manage and monitor. And this is actually showing us, again, the pipeline that we saw there, but it's bringing in some statuses. Green means good. And if we have a look at the internet activity blob here, this is taking all the data from the cell towers, putting it into our internet data table, or collection of files, really in a cluster. You'll see there's three green dots there. The three green dots relate to the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th that are being processed. I only chose to process this once a day, so the 16th will process later on today for all the data from the 16th, and then the 17th later. And you'll see if I hover over that, it'll pop up a calendar, you know, showing the green dots here. Okay, so that's Data Factory in a really small nutshell. Basically, you can use it to build the pipelines to shift data from place to place. You can use it to monitor that data as it's going through. It automates all of that for you, so you don't have to do everything manually. Now, let me jump back once more to my slides. Okay. So this was our data pipeline again. As I said, ingestion, streaming it into the storage, into the Power BI for some real-time stuff, into our Hadoop cluster to get that massive data down to something more manageable for our transactional systems. And then from our transactional systems into our SQL Server, it can be consumed there by more Power BI. It can be consumed there by our apps, our web, even bots. And it can go into our SQL data warehouse for our historical reporting, month by month, year by year, year on year, etc. So that was my whirlwind run through some of our big data platform. I really need about 4 hours to scratch the surface of this stuff. There's quite a lot of it there. But hopefully that was of some use to you.